listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Friday, November 2nd.
Yay.
Yeah.
It's legit fall.
It is.
It is foggy this morning, too.
Foggy fall Friday. It's casual
flannel
Friday.
For you. I didn't get the flannel memo
foggy
today.
Foggy flannel fall Friday. And we're talking about fresh fall flavors with one of our favorite dietitians today. I'm excited about that.
We should have an alliteration day. Oh, wait.
It's every day when you're hanging out with me. So sorry. Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about them at cuw.edu. Live uncommon, cuw.edu. Two great topics today. We get to talk about food. Mm-hmm. So one of my all-time, it's right there in the top of the
list.
It's
on Andy's list of favorites.
Yes, it's not quite as high as hymns on your list, I know. But I love talking about hymns, too, and discussing hymns. We're talking about food today. Young adult volunteers for the LCMS National Youth Gathering and find out what it takes to be a young adult volunteer. Are there opportunities still open for young adult volunteers coming up in the second half? We'll hear from some folks who have served as YAVs. Like saying that, yes, in the past, and those who are helping plan for the 2019 gathering in just a little bit. In studio today, Sarah Carenti. She's a registered dietitian, health and wellness educator with Concordia Plan Services, and a person who likes to eat food like me. So, but she makes much wiser, healthier choices when it comes to food than I do. Sarah, always a joy to have you in studio.
It's so great to be here.
I am excited to talk about fall flavors. When September 1st rolls around, because if you're on social media, everybody, lots of people, there are like wars on social media about pumpkin spice mm-hmm. lattes, but it's officially pumpkin season, right? Mm-hmm. So you see lots of things, which pumpkin spice doesn't actually have pumpkin in it, right?
It took me a long time to realize that.
Yeah.
Although there is a local place around here that has a baked pumpkin latte, and that actually has pumpkin in it.
Yes.
It's really good.
That was one of our coffee meetings last year.
That was a coffee meeting last year.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you were excited because there was real pumpkin in it.
So actually good.
when you think fall flavors, what are some of the unique ones that come to mind for you?
Some of my favorite ones. So pumpkin. Yeah, that's common. But acorn squash.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites. It's not only so beautiful when you cook it, but it tastes delicious.
I don't know if I've had acorn squash.
It's really good.
It looks like a giant green acorn, mm-hmm. but it's delicious. My husband and I like to make this dish where you just cut it in half and it serves as a really great bowl. Mm-hmm. And then we saute some spinach and either tomatoes or roasted red peppers or something in with some sort of protein. And then you bake it in the bowl. Oh, it's so delicious.
Mm. That is really good. We've done something like that. And there's different colors of acorn squash, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think we've had I don't know if we've had green, but we've had yellow.
Oh, right. I didn't know there were different colors.
We need to make a
either.
Trip to the grocery store after
the farmer's market and just all of the decorations, just eat them.
Yeah.
Eat the decorations.
Cook them. There's our show title.
Decorations you can eat. I like it. Sounds like my kind of decorations.
That's fantastic. Butternut squash is really good, too.
I was going to say that one, too.
It's a bit of a pain to prepare because mm-hmm. my hands don't like the sticky on the inside.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the squashes are very resilient. They're very mm-hmm. hard to cut, but that's that's worth it.
It's worth delicious. The work. It is true. It is
spaghetti
worth
squash too.
Oh, that is my
that's
favorite.
But to open it, I feel like I'm going to lose a finger every time because I'm trying to bang it on the counter but it's worth it. Those are all such great, mm-hmm. really any time of the year, but they're more in season.
How do you cook spaghetti squash?
Ooh.
I'm curious because I know how we do it in our house, but I'm curious. It's not even my turn to ask a question, but
we're talking about food.
Right. I'm the minimalist now with kids and stuff. I feel like time is even shorter. So I do a lot of stuff in the microwave. So you can actually just cut it in half, put it face down in a pan of water, like a half inch or an inch, and you can microwave it. It'll steam that way because the dome of the squash, any mm-hmm. of the squashes, kind of captures the heat and it steams it. And then you can just scrape it right out. It's super easy.
Yeah.
You can do it in the oven too, the same way you mm-hmm. could put some olive oil or something on it and cook it face down. It takes a little longer.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Because we do that twice a week with spaghetti squash, but that's
really?
Yeah, those are the nights I get home early enough to wait for the oven, but it's so good. It's one of my favorite meals.
It is good.
We do
olive oil and salt.
In the crock pot.
Oh, ooh, good one.
We haven't tried that yet.
I was going to say that crock pot this time of year is just everything.
Face
I
mean, down in the crock pot, the Wi-Fi crock pot, by the way.
Man. Oh, that Wi-Fi crock pot. Last time I was here, you were talking about that.
You put it in the crock pot face down, maybe a little olive oil, and that's what we do. And or you can steam it, put some water in there too, but just the water's so gone by the end of the day. So.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so rather than talk about squash for a whole 12 minutes.
I thought that's what we were talking about today.
I mean, I love squash and everything, but what other produce is fresh this time of year? Or in season, I guess I should say.
A lot of your hearty things, like the collard greens. So not just like fall, but thinking of fall and winter. So like your collard greens and your kales and all of those kinds of things. A lot of the like sweet potatoes, and we can get them all year round in our country, but they're truly in season this time of year. Mm-hmm. The pumpkin and the squashes and the apples. And if you go
Macintosh. Macintosh season.
She got so excited about apples.
Michigander.
I mean, there's so much this time of year, which is wonderful. It truly is like that bountiful harvest kind of time. Like that name isn't just out there because it's fun to talk about. Like there's truly so much that's available
that's
to us.
Yeah.
I was on the, if you go to fruitsandveggiesmattermore.org, it's a really great website that gives you what's in season. Hmm. So per quarter, I guess. Huh. So per season. And then it'll tell you then recipes for those things. So if you've never cooked with whatever that squash was, the turban squash.
Yeah, the turban squash.
Yeah.
It's a weird looking squash.
It can give you ideas and it gives you a rundown of what is in that, what the benefit of that food is, and then some ideas. So, yeah.
Fruitsandveggiesmattermore.org.
I'll put that in the show notes.
That's a great idea because we're eating.
No, wait. More matters. Sorry.
More matters.
Sorry. Yeah.
Fruits and veggies.
It's really early. I took a flight in late last night. I forgot my coffee in the car.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That is sad.
It's been a day. Yeah. I will make sure you have the right website. Fruits and veggies. More matters.
We'll put it in the program notes today. So
click on it.
That'll be good.
Get folks to that.
Make sure it's Friday morning.
Aiming to eat more veggies in our household this year. We've been doing that always eating vegetables. And I could eat sweet potatoes every day, but
getting
some variety. Why is it, one, important to get variety? And two, why go with what's in season? Why are there benefits to going with what's in season?
So for your first question, why should you be getting more in? All of these fruits and vegetables, yes, like a sweet potato is going to have a lot of nutrients, fiber and all of that. But they all have their own different kind of configuration of those. So when you have a bigger variety of fruits, vegetables, even your grains, all of those food groups, you're offering your body more nutrients and in different levels so that you're more likely to get exactly what it is that you need. What was the second question?
Why are there benefits to going with what's in season?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Obviously, there's a cost benefit if you're getting stuff in season. Mm-hmm. If you're buying stuff that isn't necessarily in season or because you can't afford something that's like fresh or organic or anything like that, and you're buying frozen or something, that's still good. But anytime we're changing the makeup of a food, you're going to lose a little bit of the nutrients. Not always a lot when you're like freezing and stuff like that, but that's just the nature of when we manipulate our foods, whether we're cooking it or freezing it or anything like that. So you're going to maximize the nutritional benefit when you're eating fresh. That's not to say that that's the only thing you should be doing. I like to tell people, you know, if there's like a gold, silver, bronze of like how you should be eating your produce, fresh is kind of the gold standard. But if it's, you know, frozen broccoli, great. That's just like a silver medal. Like it's still great. And it's obviously better than none, you know. Yeah. So like if you're going to eat canned green beans, could fresh be a little bit better in some cases for people? Yes, but it's better than not eating green beans, so just eat the green beans. Yeah.
So as we maybe are experimenting with new foods, like some of those boxes you can get in the mail and they like send you random stuff.
Yeah.
How do you get your family and especially kids to eat it?
Something new, yeah.
Like, what is this?
We frequently get the, I don't like it. You haven't tried
it
yet.
Tried
How
it.
Do you
just
know
because
if you
it
don't
looks
like it?
Weird doesn't mean it tastes weird.
Right. So to get kids more involved with what they're eating, to not turn their noses up. First, it's important to remember that it's like an average of like 10 to 15 times you have to offer a kid something before they can truly say that they don't like it. I mean, some things we just don't like, and that's totally fine. Like, I don't really care for raw onions. Like, totally fine.
I don't like okra.
Yeah, see? Right.
You both probably... things I eat, yes.
Yeah.
That I enjoy.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
But kids, I mean, when they're still learning their palate, it takes time. So you have to kind of offer it more and more and more and more. What was the other question? Man, this coffee.
We were just talking about kids.
Why do I show up to a coffee hour with no coffee?
Our volunteer, our studio guy is out this week. So it's sitting there ready to be brewed. I apologize.
Oh, I could have pressed the button before.
It's ready to be brewed. Okay. I apologize. It was ready
just
for
you. Just getting kids to eat stuff.
Getting kids to eat stuff. Yeah. My other thing I was going to say, whenever kids are involved, really anybody, when people are involved and have a say or have a part, they're more likely to participate. So making sure kids are age appropriate, involved in like the cooking process or in the shopping, helping them to, you know, like, let's find a purple vegetable today, and talking to them about what eggplant is and what we can do with it. You know, it involves them in the process, so they have a little bit more, you know, capital, a little more skin in the game, and they're more likely to try it. But then remember, if they turn their noses up, it could be something that you have to offer over and over and over. Not to kind of say, that's terrible that you don't like it, but just, that's okay, we're going to try again later.
True story from last night's dinner.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
So, always veggies on, there are always some form of veggies on the plate. And at the beginning of dinner, I don't want it, I don't like it, you know, I don't want to eat. He's eaten them before. It's just like green beans and carrots and peas. Yeah. Didn't want them.
Yeah.
Got up and moved around for a little bit, came back, sat down, scooped them like was shoveling them in. His attitude changed just by moving around for a little bit.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, dinner was over. He came back and then shoveled him in.
Yeah. It was on his terms. So,
yes.
Yeah. Right.
And speaking of purple sweet potatoes are really good.
Yes.
They are fantastic. And they look really weird. They look like Play-Doh.
It does. Mm-hmm. I've seen the dish that you made.
So good.
So good.
Purple sweet potato pie. That's what I made last year for Thanksgiving. It was strange, but
I even
so good.
Put sweet potatoes in my smoothies.
Ooh, yeah.
I've not tried purple ones in the smoothies yet, though.
So bringing that up, that's another good point. to get more vegetables in. I have this lasagna that I make that my husband loves. And every time I make it, I challenge myself to see how many more vegetables I can stick in.
Nice.
So I think one time I got it up to like 13 different kinds of vegetables. Yeah. And it just tastes like lasagna because I'm putting like shredded zucchini in there, and it's layered in with the sauce, and you just can't taste it. And it makes it real hearty and delicious, and you're getting all of these nutrients in.
It's awesome.
Sarah Carenti, registered dietitian, health and wellness educator with Concordia Plan Services. Sarah, thanks so much for being our guest this morning in the coffee hour. Thanks for the tips for fresh fall flavors.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Can you be a young adult volunteer? Sarah and I are out, but there are opportunities this year. Stick around for more of the coffee hour.